We have come to chapter 9 of our series on marriage and the Christian family. And today we are going to look into the faith, hope and charity in a Christian home. It is kind of a little of doctrinal aspect. I mean, it's not like totally on marriage that we are going to discuss about. But many of the things that we should understand, that many times we have a tendency to say that, okay, when you relate to family, that there should be scriptures in the Word of God that directly relates to the family. But we should understand that all principles and everything in the Bible is applicable to family relationship, just like it's applicable to an individual relationship. Everything in the Bible, okay? If it is applicable to the individual relationship, it's also applicable to the family relationships, even though it's not specifically mentioned. So we, in this lesson, we are going to note how faith, hope and love are the foundations of a Christian home, as they are of the church. So in any Christian home, these three attributes, faith, hope and love, should be predominant in a Christian home. And that is how, basically, a Christian home becomes a place of love and it's a place of a wonderful, experience for a family. Let us start with. I will not be able to finish this. It's a long subject. But we are going to go into half of this, and the rest of it we will study tomorrow, the next class. The first thing is that the spirit of a Christian home is in faith. For that, the first thing is that the life of a Christian home is by faith. Let us turn to Romans. Chapter 1. I want you to open your Bibles, please. Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17. Please read the verses. Let's go into the verses and read them just for us to understand about different aspects, and then we are going to relate that in the context of a family. Okay? So please read. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Somebody please read. It says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, Paul is writing to Romans and saying that the good news, which is the gospel, which is actually the good news, is for all the people in the world. And because of Christ, there is a power for everyone to be saved. Okay? From the evil of this present world and of death and corruption. So, this salvation is by faith. Our salvation is through the faith. And here, Apostle Paul is quoting a verse that was mentioned by Prophet Habakkuk in the Old Testament. If you look to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 4, he has mentioned that the just shall live by faith. Okay? So Apostle Paul is quoting that verse from Habakkuk and saying that the salvation is by faith. And because of that, in a home, in the context of a home, there is no real life in the home except the life that comes through faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ. Now here let me emphasize one thing. For a Christian man or woman who wants to get married, one of the first things that you should look for, let's say if it's a man and you want to get married, one of the first things that you should look for is a girl who is born again. This is one of the foundations, that you don't go and get married to a Hindu or a Muslim or somebody who doesn't share their faith, or even a nominal Christian, because the foundation and the peace in a home is because of the fact that both of you have accepted and received salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? It is in Corinthians is written that what relation does light have with darkness, or God have with Belial, or what is there? There is no relationship between two opposites. You are the children of light, and you get married to somebody who is a children of the darkness. You know, there is no relationship. So one of the first things that you should make sure when you look for a girl, even before you see a girl, find out one thing and make sure that this person is a born again child of God who is living right and who has accepted salvation through faith. Okay? Because there is no real life in a home except that both of the partners have received salvation through the saving work of Jesus Christ. The second thing we can look is the rightness of a Christian home is by faith. The rightness in a Christian home is by faith. Let's turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 21 to 28. Can one of you read out, please? Romans chapter 3 and verse 21 to 28. Loudly, please. Thank you.
But now without law, righteousness of God is manifested, born witnessed by the law of the prophets. Righteousness of God by the faith of Jesus Christ towards all and upon all those who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption which in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth in the mercy seat through faith in His blood for the shewing forth of His righteousness in the respect of the passing by the sins that have taken place before through the forbearance of God, for the shewing forth of His righteousness in the present time, so that He should be just and justify him that is of the faith of Jesus.
Okay, thank you. You know what?
Slides in the National Version.
Yeah, that's fine. All the wrongs in this world is because of sin. I hope you agree with me. Anything that is wrong in this world is because of sin. As it is applicable to an individual, so it is with a family, that we have all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is in Romans 3:23. So the only way a family can be made right is that if every individual in a family is made right. You understand that? Because when you're talking about a family, you're talking about a group of individuals. Whether it is individual of one or two or three. We discussed about family, how it is related to individuals. So a family can only be made right if the individual is right by himself. So now Paul is explaining here that this rightness, you know, the rightness can only come because Christ has worked for us in a threefold manner. And we are going to look into it. Christ has worked this rightness in us in a threefold manner. The number first one is that the Christ has paid the legal debt at the judgment bar. Okay? He has paid the legal debt at the judgment bar, which we refer to the term as justification. What does it mean? Every person in the family has sinned, and thereby we owe a legal debt at the judgment seat of God. Because Romans 3:23 says that we have all fallen short. Okay, we all have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. And the wages of sin is what? Is death. So we all have fallen short in a legal way. We are in a legal debt at the judgment seat of God. But the word justify means that this legal debt that we had accrued in the sight of God has been paid. By whom? Who paid the legal debt for us? Jesus Christ. So when a person accepts Christ by faith, His death on the cross is accepted by the Father as a full payment of the crimes or the sins that we have committed. God the Father accepts the death of His Son in lieu of the sins that we have committed when we come to Father through faith in Jesus Christ. I hope you understand it. So, that it's a privilege that every member of the family must accept and believe in Christ. And thereby collectively, we are being justified through Christ our Savior. You understand what I'm saying? It is a bit doctrine, but try to understand. So we have been, Christ has paid the legal debt at the judgment bar, which is justification. The second term is redemption. Do you know what is meant by redemption? Can one of you tell me? What is meant by redemption? Okay, any other answers?
It's buying you with the blood.
Okay, anything else? Any other answers? What is meant by redemption? Okay, Christ has purchased us from the auction block, you know, which is he has redeemed. We are on an auction block. Just imagine, we have been set up and people are calling auction for us, you know, $10, $15, $20, $100. But Christ has purchased us from that auction block, which means he has redeemed us. He has bought us with a price. What is the price that Christ paid for us? His own blood. He paid the price through his own blood on the cross of Calvary. So we have been redeemed in the sense that Christ has made us free. He bought us and he set us free. You understand? We are like a slave at the auction block, and Christ paid the price for us and he bought us and he set us free. So every person in the family is a slave to sin. Turn to John chapter 8 and verse 34. And you will see what I mean by saying. When if you have sinned, you are a slave to sin. John 8:34 says here, what does it say? Most assuredly, Jesus is answering them and saying, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. So we are a slave to sin.
Okay, here's something kind of different.
Yeah.
It said, okay, I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sin.
8:34. Look to John 8:34. What does it say?
Okay, that's different. Okay, I say to you, everyone that practices.
Everyone?
That practices sin in the bondman of sin.
Is a bondman. That is a different version. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So we are slaves to sin. Even though we do not know it, you are like a servant to sin. You are a slave to sin. And what does Satan do? He uses a sin in our life to sell us as slave from one sin to the other. He leads us from smaller sins to bigger sins. And we are ultimately the slave to sin. No, redemption means to set us free. So Christ, through his own blood, he purchased us from the auction block of slavery and set us free. So in a family setting, when you come together, it is the ideal couple is when both of them have been redeemed. Not that one is under sin, and because if one is under sin and one has been redeemed, there is a lot of friction. Because you cannot get along with each other. Because each one of you will look at things from a different perspective. You understand what I'm saying? So, you need to be redeemed because Christ has purchased us from the auction block. The third is, Christ intercedes for us at the mercy seat. It is called propitiation. Now, after paying our debt in the courtroom and purchasing us from the auction block of slavery, what Christ is right now doing, do you know what he's doing right now? He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and Christ is interceding for us. He's praying for us. Do you know that he's praying for us? Before God the Father, every day, morning and night, every time, Christ is praying for us. He's interceding for us at the throne of grace. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And verses 14 to 16. Can you look through that verse, please? Hebrews chapter 4. Yeah. See, we have, it's written here, we have a great high priest. You know, what is the role of a high priest? Once in a year, the high priest takes the blood of the bull or the animal that has been sacrificed for the sins of the whole people. He takes it to the mercy seat, to the Holy of Holies. And he offers that blood as a price to, that God will look at that blood and forgive the people of the sins. Right now, Jesus is performing the act of a high priest, where he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and he is interceding on our behalf to God. And he is saying, You know, let us give him one more chance. He has not done good, but let's give him one more chance. Let's give him another chance. So he is interceding before the God, before the throne of grace. So the word propitiation is the same word that has been used for the mercy seat of gold, which was placed on top of the Ark of the Covenant and covered the law which was broken. So the mercy seat of gold was placed above the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, and it covered the law. So similarly, Christ is become our propitiation, and he is interceding for us at the mercy seat. So when the family members believe in Christ, this threefold work is going on: the work of justification, the work of redemption, and the work of propitiation is fulfilled in every life by faith. So this faith becomes the spirit in a Christian home. So all the wrong that is being done in a home is handled in the same way, whether it is a husband, father, or a wife or a mother, or a son or a brother, or a daughter or a sister. So even though the husband may be the head of the wife, it does not mean that the husband is more right than the wife. You understand what I'm saying? At the same way, just because a wife is submitting to the husband does not mean that she is responsible. She is not responsible for her own wrongs. I mean, each one of the family members are responsible for our own sins that we commit to God. So both the husband and the wife must believe that the only answer when things go wrong in a marriage relationship is Christ. See, let me tell you, just like Christ has forgiven us, so also we ought to forgive one another. Many times one of the problems in a marriage life is when the husband refuses to forgive the wife, or the wife refuses to forgive the husband and bears that root of bitterness inside, and there is quarrel, and there is a lot of fighting within the context of a family. But if both husband and wife have been justified, have been redeemed, and Christ is our propitiation, how do you behave? Just like Christ forgive you, just like Christ has justified you, you will also forgive each other, right? And that is the context on which you go into a family relationship, and that is the way we should be. That is why one of the things that we understand, if both the husband and wife are deeply committed in their Christian life, and they really, I'm not talking superficially, okay, I'm talking that if there is a real change in your life and both of you are really committed, you walk the talk, okay, and you are really humble and Christ-like, I don't believe that there will be frictions and there will be lot of frictional issues in a family life. Because just like Christ forgave you, you will look at, you know, how greatly Christ, and then you will be willing to forgive somebody else. Now in this context, I want to mention that you remember a parable that Jesus spoke about a servant who was a man who was owing the king so many, you know, thousands of denarii, and the king forgave him. And then he goes to his servant who owes him a little money, you know, compared to the money that he was owing the king. The king forgave that whole money and, you know, said, okay, that is, I'll write out the debt for you. But when he sees his servant, he catches hold of him and he punishes him and puts him to jail. And when the king learns about that, what does he do? He does the same to him. You know what? If Christ has forgiven you of your sin, you better be ready to forgive the sins of other people. If you cannot forgive, and this was a problem that the disciples were having, they were always finding, how many times shall I forgive somebody? What did Christ say? Is it seven times? It's seven times seven. I mean, that is a kind of a rough figure, 490, 70 times seven, yeah. 490 is just a rough figure. What Christ is saying that you forgive, even if you know very well that the other person has done wrong to you. And he showed by example that you can even forgive people who have done against you wrong. On the cross, Christ, what did Father? Forgive them, for they do not know what they do. For whom was he praying? for the people who had hung him on the cross, for the people who had beaten him up, for the people who had spat on him, for the people who bruised him. What did Christ say? Forgive. In our lives, let me tell you, we should be ready to forgive others. We should be ready to forgive people. And we should be able to forgive, you know, because Christ has already forgiven us. Let us go into the next one. Some examples I want to give before I close this lesson. We are almost running out of time. I will give you some examples. Actually, two examples from the of the faith in the home. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. In the fourth chapter, Paul uses Old Testament examples to illustrate the working of faith in the home. Number one he uses is the case of David. You know, we all know about David, right? David committed horrible sins of what? Adultery and murder. He was both an adulterer and he was a murderer. Because that was ultimate sins, and he broke the Ten Commandments. Not one, but two areas. He broke the Ten Commandments in two different places. But David approached God back in repentance. And he trusted God, and so what did God do? He forgave him. And his household was not destroyed. So David describes his blessings of forgiveness. And I want you to look at this. Let us read Romans chapter 4, verses 6, 7 and 8. Can someone read out please? Romans chapter 4, verse 6, 7 and 8. Yeah. See, David spoke in the Psalms. In Psalms 32 verses 1 and 2, and he says, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Okay? Blessed is the man on whom the Lord will not impute sin. Psalms 32 verse 1 and 2. He knew the blessedness of being forgiven by his sins. And he is an example of how God can forgive your sins if you trust by faith in God. The next example that we know is Abraham. Abraham's household was destined to die because of Sarah's barrenness. She was barren. Okay? Even when she became old, she was barren. But what he did, he believed the promise of God that he would have a child. Even though he was 100 years old, he believed in God. And because of his faith, righteousness was in his home. See, look here. Paul said, I want you to look to Romans 4:3. Can somebody read 4:3? Romans 4:3.
For what the scripture says, Abraham believed God and he was reckoned to him as righteous.
Yeah, the scripture says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The same we can see in Genesis 15 and verse number 6, where it is mentioned very clearly, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So the same faith in our homes, so just like David and Abraham, the same faith is in our homes today, will be saved by faith. So even though our sins are as gross as adultery and murder of David, or our problems are so great as the childlessness of Abraham, but the true faith, the same God works for us. And so Paul says, right, let's go into this, and I'm going to close it. Chapter 4 verse 23 to 26. It's written here. Now it was not written for his sake alone. We are talking about Abraham. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Are you listening? But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So, basically, what we understand is that through faith, our homes will be saved. In all these three aspects, examples of David, example of Abraham, and in our homes, through faith we are saved and we have a blessed marriage life. Okay, so I'm going to conclude this today, and let me just summarize this and say that the spirit of a Christian home is in the faith. as much as possible, you should share the same faith as your partner. The more diverse you are, like for example, let's say one is a super spiritual, one is a nominal. One is like way out, like a Hindu, and somebody is a Christian. It is an uneven, unequal kind of a mix-up. You know, it's a mix and match. It doesn't match that well. You have to share the same doctrine that you believe through faith in salvation. And that is the way that God can bless your marriage. Okay? It's very important that you share the same faith. And make sure that God, Christ has justified you, Christ has redeemed you, and Christ is the propitiation of your sins. Okay? Let's close our eyes, have a word of prayer. Christ is sitting at the right hand of God the Father and is interceding for us. Let us just come to God by faith and ask Him to forgive us of our sins as we enter into the house of God this morning in worship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this morning time. We thank You, Lord, that You have died on the cross for us and You paid the penalty of our sins through Your blood that You shed on the cross of Calvary for us. Help us to, Lord, be true to the faith that we believe in. Help our faith to be strong. Even though our sins are gross, but you know, You have said that through Your blood they can be white as snow. We thank You for justifying us. Thank You for redeeming us. Thank You that You are as an interceder, Lord, sitting at the right hand of God and You are interceding for us. We pray for each one of us. Help us to live a life of faith today and bless our marriages and bless our family life. We want to thank You for Your blessings. We pray all this in the sweet name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.